fueling these extreme events. One of them is warming temperatures.
We can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and to determine the destiny of humanity. They need to be overthrown as quickly as possible.
And it is a scientific fact that we do not have to live this way.
That was the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, and this is the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Annie Day, and I'm joined today by Rafael Cadaris.
Good to be here, Annie, and welcome to all of our viewers. This is a show working on what Bob Avakian was just talking about, overthrowing this system of capitalism, imperialism, and bringing a radically new and far better system into being based on the new communism developed by Bob Avakian.
On today's show, we're going to talk about fires, fascism, resistance, and revolution. And throughout the show, you're going to hear more from Bob Avakian directly. You're going to hear about how to understand this fascism, what we need to do now, and you're going to hear what kind of world is really possible with a revolution aimed at overthrowing the system of capitalism imperialism, a system that has given rise to this fascism and so many other horrors.
And in opposition to all this imperialist gangsterism from the MAGA fascist Trump, you're going to hear Bob Avakian answer the question, would Mexico and Central America still be the U.S.'s backyard after the revolution?
As we record, we're witnessing the worst fire in Los Angeles history. Ash is falling from the sky, thick and dark with choking smoke. These are not the end times, but we need to make them end the system times. 70,000 people have been evacuated, with new evacuation orders still coming. The nightmare of fires and floods, heat and droughts are caused by capitalism-induced climate change. A warming planet caused by capitalism's thirst for fossil fuels at the expense of precious ecosystems, the future of humanity, and the planet. Under Joe Biden, the Democrats' genocider-in-chief, the U.S. became the world's number one producer of liquid natural gas in the world. But the MAGA fascist Trump intends to put this on steroids.
President Biden's actions yesterday on offshore drilling, banning offshore drilling, will not stand. I will reverse it immediately. It'll be done immediately. And we will drill, baby, drill. And we're going to be drilling in a lot of other locations.
And this was just one of the many ugly, violent, dangerous threats coming from the man who Bob Avakian has called the bloated bag of fascist feces, Donald Trump, from his press conference on Tuesday. This motherfucker is not even in office yet, and he's on the offensive with an all-out fascist program. And what is this fascism? In a speech from 2017, Bob Avakian broke this down.
We are confronted by, we are now being ruled by, a fascist regime, relentlessly assaulting civil rights and liberties and openly promoting bigotry and inequality, acting with callous disregard or cold-blooded malice toward those they consider inferior and a drain or stain on the country. On a mission to deny health care to millions who will suffer and many who will die without it. Crudely degrading women as objects of plunder, breeders of children without the right to abortion or birth control, subordinate to husbands and men in general. Defying the science of climate change, attacking the science of evolution, and repudiating the scientific method overall. A regime brandishing an arsenal of mass destruction and threatening nuclear war, intensifying state terror against Muslims, immigrants, and people in the inner cities, unleashing and giving encouragement and support to brutal thugs spewing vile America first, white supremacist, male supremacist, and anti-LGBT venom. A regime that boasts of all this and declares its intention to do even worse.
And all that is what we heard in Trump's press conference. Like a cutthroat, cold-blooded imperialist gangster, Trump is threatening war on Panama to take control of the Panama Canal. And he's threatening Denmark to take control of Greenland.
Can you assure the world that as you try to get control of these areas,
You are not going to use military or economic coercion?
No, I can't assure you. You're talking about Panama and Greenland. No, I can't assure you on either of those two. Look, the Panama Canal is vital to our country.
Why? Because America needs control of the world's shipping channels and resources to stay on top. Trump is threatening to use economic force to absorb Canada into the United States.
Are you also considering military force to annex and acquire Canada?
No. Economic force.
He's threatening to rename the Gulf of Mexico to be the Gulf of America.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
He's attacking judges, federal prosecutors, and his political enemies.
I defeated deranged Jack Smith. He's a deranged individual. I guess he's on his way back to The Hague.
Violating the rule of law and using state power to back up the big lie that the 2020 elections were stolen while pardoning the fascist stormtroopers who tried to carry out his attempted coup.
So we'll be looking at the whole thing, but I'll be making major pardons, yes. Please.
He's threatening mass deportations and dehumanizing immigrants.
They release them from their jails, their prisons, and their mental institutions and insane asylums into our country. Thousands of murderers are now walking around the streets of our cities and farmland all over.
And he twice threatened that all hell will break out if hostages held in Gaza by Hamas are not released.
If the deal isn't done before I take office, which is now going to be 2 weeks, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
Now, Trump wouldn't say explicitly what he intends, but as a U.S.-backed Israeli genocide has unfolded for the last year, with American bombs being dropped on the innocent Palestinian people in Gaza, we know that that means even more terror, death, bullets and bombs raining down from the skies. Look, this fascist program cannot be allowed to consolidate. It cannot be normalized, accepted, or tolerated. No one should try to ignore it or minimize it. No one should try to hide and just take care of those around you. In his social media message, Revolution Number 111, titled, "We RevComs Are Serious, and All Decent People Need to Be Serious About Actually Defeating This Trump MAGA Fascism," Bob Avakian speaks to the stakes we face and what we need to do and not do now.
This is not a time for demoralization and despair. It is not a time for accepting this Trump MAGA fascism as legitimate and staying within the confines of how things work under this system as Democratic Party heads and other mainstream ruling class representatives are urging people to do. It is not a time for turning inward and attempting to take care of self as the juggernaut of Trump MAGA fascism gains momentum and crushes masses of people. This is a time for reaching out to all the others who feel the same outrage at Trump MAGA fascism. A time for collective action and self-sacrificing struggle for the greater good. The greater good of defeating this fascism. So what does defeating this fascism actually mean? How can this actually happen? It means building and mobilizing a truly broad and determined mass movement, uniting all who can be united in rapidly and continually growing numbers all over the country, aiming to become so massive and powerful that it creates a profound political crisis such that Trump cannot govern the country and implement his fascist program. There are literally tens of millions of people who viscerally hate what is represented by this Trump MAGA fascism. Think of the massive outpouring of outrage that was called forth by the cold-blooded murder of George Floyd in 2020. And the way that, at the time, it changed the whole political situation in the country. This shows the potential for people to be rapidly mobilized on an even greater scale in sustained, determined opposition to Trump MAGA fascism, with the goal of actually defeating this fascism, as I have spoken to this here. This must begin and begin to gather real momentum before the scheduled inauguration of Donald Trump on January 20, 2025. While taking part in protests against this Trump MAGA fascism, people in all parts of the country need to get together, get organized, reach out broadly, and continually call forth broader ranks of people in rapidly growing, bold, active, determined opposition to Trump MAGA fascism overall, based on the clear orientation of building a massive movement all over the country with the unifying fundamental aim of defeating this fascism. This is the meaning and importance of the slogan we RevComs have raised as a very broad, unifying call to action. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America.
We're going to move to a video clip from Bob Avakian, where he answers the question, so would Mexico and Central America still be the U.S.'s backyard after the revolution? And this was a question posed to him in 2018 after his speech, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution. And not only does his answer provide a profound contrast to the vicious imperialist gangsterism and warmongering of this system and its rulers, but it's a hallmark of the internationalism of the new communism that Bob Avakian has developed. In this video, you'll hear the heart and the humanity in the new communism. I mean, listen to how BA talks about the masses of people. And you'll also hear that like no one else, Bob Avakian is dealing with the complexity of really making revolution and building a whole new society, and doing so from the perspective of how all of humanity, here and all over the world, is going to get all the way free. How we could get to a world without oppression and exploitation. This is an example of how far-sighted Bob Avakian is, how scientific, how seriously he's putting himself to the most difficult questions that we face in making revolution and making sure it's an all-the-way revolution. And you see here, and in all the leadership that Bob Avakian is providing through his social media platform, at Bob Avakian Official, why it's so urgent to get this voice, vision, and leadership impacting throughout society. That's why there's a big campaign to raise big funds for online advertising and a grassroots movement to spread this everywhere. Look, what people do or do not do in this situation, it has everything to do with what they understand. And right now, urgently, people have to understand what we're facing, why, and what we need to be doing. And they need to understand there really is a whole different way we could be living. So make a donation to this campaign. Be part of raising funds. Be part of spreading this everywhere. Now let's watch Bob Avakian.
After the government is overthrown, would Mexico and Central American countries still be the backyard, or is there also a benefit for these countries?
Well, certainly you wouldn't, you know, a new socialist country shouldn't. You're never going to make a revolution if you continue to regard these countries in that kind of way as your backyard and a source of exploitation. So that would have to go as part, not that nobody would cling to those ideas, but in terms of what's prevailing in society, that would have to go right away. You know, that would be a crucial part of making the revolution is, an internationalist orientation that would be completely opposed to that kind of notion and that kind of approach. Then there are a lot of practical questions. In each of these countries, you know, Mexico, all the countries of Central America, there are different class forces and different social forces. And right now, they're all ruled by exploiting classes who, even as they have contradictions with the dominant U.S. capitalist imperialist, you know, ruling class in this country, also have their own interests as exploiters. And on the other hand, you have the masses of people of different classes and strata who are oppressed in various ways and to varying degrees under the system. Now, you know, the masses of people, one would expect, would be inspired and by and supportive and would, you know, want in various dimensions to take part in this revolutionary struggle taking place in what, you know, one thing that's, if you notice, when you read the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America, it continually refers to the former United States of America, because the whole point is we're not just going to have a revolution and say now we have the United States of America, except it's socialist instead of capitalist. That's why it's called, that's why it's referred to as a socialist republic. And you know, the everything will be up for grabs in this struggle. What the boundaries of that country will be determined through the course of struggle, how much you're able to liberate of the present territory of the U.S. from the imperialists, what kind of civil war is raging over that question for some time will be a big factor on the terrain. And then there is the relationship with, you know, I mean, look, as I referred to, a large part of Mexico was ripped away, you know, in the middle of the 19th century by a predatory war by the U.S. in the first place. So there's still remaining questions of history to be settled there. You know, as it says in that Constitution, the question of should some of this territory be returned to Mexico? Should it remain in the U.S., have autonomous regions and zones established there? Or what about the possibility that people who live in that territory would want to form a separate country? And, you know, there's nothing sacred about any of these boundaries, not only of the U.S., but of these other countries, too. I mean, it's not quite as it is in some of these Middle Eastern countries. Someone, you know, who works at Revolution Books in New York, if I remember correctly, but anyway, someone posed a rhetorical question. You know why the boundaries of some of these Middle Eastern countries, like Iraq and so on, are so straight? Answer, because the British imperialists who drew them up had a ruler. And, you know, and that reflects something real, you know, like British and, you know, French imperialism was contending also. They were the ones that, you know, determined the borders and the constituencies of this country. And they did much the same thing in large parts of Africa, too, and other places. So there's nothing sacred about these borders. I mean, look, there are real peoples with real histories, real cultures, real common life. It's not that all that should be ignored. I'm just saying the borders as such, there's nothing sacred about them. A lot of things will be thrown up for grabs. Masses, there'll be probably be, you know, with a revolution in the U.S., there'll probably be civil wars in a lot of these other countries. Revolutionary forces fighting against our own ruling classes, or what have been their ruling classes, as well as fighting against the forces of counter-revolution that are centered in the U.S. A lot of things are going to be up for grabs. The point is to have an orientation that's internationalist and that's guided by the fundamental principle of advancing the revolution everywhere we can in line with and to serve the goal of uprooting and abolishing exploitation and oppression, ultimately in the world as a whole and in any given time as far as we possibly can in as great a territory as we possibly can. And then you work things out from there on that basis. That's the way this kind of thing will be dealt with. And any other principle will lead back to what we have now. And, you know, there'll be all kinds of forces in the field struggling for all kinds of things, but that has to be our guiding principle. And, you know, and the way we proceed in terms of resolving all this. But as I said in the talk, the more that there is revolutionary upheaval in these other countries, the better it will be for everybody. And, you know, as I said just a little while ago, the actual reality of a revolutionary, you know, struggle for power in this country cannot help but have a tremendous reverberation in the entire world, but obviously very powerfully
in the countries right around, including even the, you know, the countries to the north, as well as those in Central and the rest of, you know, Latin America and the Caribbean. So that has to be our orientation. And it's I think almost inconceivable that a revolutionary struggle of the kind that we're talking about wouldn't unleash all kinds of forces and in these other countries, both negative but also very positive.
Okay.
Was Bob Avakian from 2018, and you can see that speech and the full Q&A at revcom.us. Now, too often, when people encounter what Bob Avakian is saying and the work he's doing, you hear these haters and these fools out here whining, "I don't want to hear from this old white man," or "Stop making such a big deal about Bob Avakian," or "The RevComs are just a cult." Now, aside from the unthinking, anti-communist brainwash that's bound up with this, someone recently made the point that to evaluate Bob Avakian, the leadership he's providing, the breakthroughs in the new communism, from the standpoint of what passes for political thought these days, is like trying to evaluate Einstein on the basis of astrology. I mean, Bob Avakian is just working on a whole different plane. He's dealing with questions that most people have never even thought of. So cut it out with this anti-scientific mumbo-jumbo. If you want to approach the central questions before humanity in a serious way, you have to be scientific, and you have to seriously get into Bob Avakian and the new communism he's developed.
Donald Trump is a genocidal fascist. Don't believe me? Just look at how he talks about immigrants.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. They're poisoning the blood of our country. That's what they've done. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats.
This is no different than the way Hitler talked about the Jews. And just like in Nazi Germany, these kinds of lies, dehumanization, and scapegoating is the battering ram of a whole fascist program. And it's worth noting that one of the main ways the Nazis demonize Jews is by portraying them as a bunch of criminals preying upon the good Aryan Germans. Now let's look at what the fascists in this country are doing even before Trump takes power.
The House passed the Laken Riley Act Tuesday, nearly a year after the Georgia nursing student was killed by an undocumented immigrant. The bill allows Immigration and Customs Enforcement to arrest and possibly deport undocumented immigrants charged with theft.
Naming this bill after Laken Riley is nothing but Nazi propaganda. White people and native-born Americans commit far more crimes proportionally than immigrants. But you don't hear these fascists talking about rounding them up and deporting them, do you? And think about what this bill says, that undocumented immigrants who are charged with nonviolent crimes like shoplifting get deported. Not convicted of crimes, but charged with crimes. Think about what that means. You go to Walmart and someone accuses you of stealing something, or maybe the cashier doesn't scan something by accident and it buzzes on your way out of the store, and then all of a sudden you get deported, torn away from your family, your job, your life here, because of an accusation. This is not due process, and yes, by the way, due process is supposed to apply to everyone residing in this country. This is fascism, and 48 Democrats signed on to it.
Criminal illegal aliens, yet people keep writing undocumented whatever. Criminal illegal aliens at the expense of law-abiding Americans, it's no longer going to be tolerated.
48 Democrats joined Republicans in voting for the legislation.
Another example of why we can't rely on the Democrats. They will not fight this fascism the way it needs to be fought, and in many cases, they're facilitating it. Now, to be clear, some Democratic Party officials are resisting Trump's mass deportation plans with local sanctuary policies that protect undocumented immigrants in various ways and prevent local police from cooperating with federal immigration agents. And these officials, too, have become targets of the Trump regime.
Tonight, Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, threatens to put the Democratic mayor of Denver in jail. This comes after the mayor, who's my next guest, talked about resisting federal forces trying to carry out mass deportations.
This is a felony to knowingly harbor and conceal an illegal alien from immigration authorities. Don't test us.
A warning to sanctuary cities from incoming border czar Tom Homan.
One of the places where this is being battled out right now is in San Diego, where the county supervisors recently strengthened their sanctuary policies, and the local sheriff responded by vowing to defy them. One of the county supervisors who sponsored the sanctuary resolution, Nora Vargas, received all kinds of hate comments and death threats, as well as the threat of legal prosecution from Stephen Miller. And then a couple weeks ago, she abruptly resigned, citing personal safety concerns.
Well, today is the final day in office for County Supervisor Nora Vargas. She abruptly resigned, citing personal safety and security reasons.
The RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity in Los Angeles knew we had to get down to San Diego right away. Last week, we did this protest right outside the sheriff's office.
Round up the sheriff!
Round up the sheriff!
Not the immigrants!
Today, a handful of protesters rallied in front of the downtown jail, calling for the sheriff's department not to comply with the incoming Trump administration's immigration policy. Trump is vowing to implement the largest mass deportation operation ever. Today's protesters are calling for people to literally stand in the way.
And that means mobilizing, protesting, taking to the streets, defending immigrants when these raids happen after Trump takes power.
The protesters say they are followers of communist leader Bob Avakian.
And this week, we drove down to speak at the county supervisors meeting. On the ride down, we had a really good discussion about what's at stake here and how it's not just, oh, who cares about this division within the government? They're all the same anyway. No, they're not all the same. There are real differences within the ruling structures over how to run this system. And these sanctuary policies, as limited as they are a reflection of those differences. And they also matter for people's lives. If the fascist section of the ruling class is able to crush sanctuary cities, counties, and states, it will have terrible consequences for immigrants and for humanity. It will be part of locking down a fascist America. On the other hand, if people rally to the defense of all those under attack by these MAGA fascists, trans people, immigrants, and yes, public officials who are being attacked for defending them, this can inspire millions and strengthen people's backbone for the fight to defeat fascism, and ultimately the fight for revolution. This struggle of the people from below can interact with these sharp divisions within the ruling class in dynamic and unpredictable ways that open up more possibility for advancing the struggle. And no one can say in advance how far that struggle can go. So with all this in mind, Michelle Chai delivered this passionate speech at the board meeting. Let's watch.
Hi, my name is Michelle Chai. I'm here with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. We face a very serious situation in this country with a fascist regime coming to power in 2 weeks, going after millions of immigrants first and crushing any opposition to this from sanctuary cities, counties, and states. We see this in the sheriffs here vowing to collaborate with ICE in open violation of sanctuary policies and state law. And we see this in the legal and physical threats against Nora Vargas and the fact that she resigned for her own safety. This should be a wake-up call, not just for San Diego, but for the whole country. This is a time for courage, a time to defend the rights and lives of the people under attack by Trump MAGA fascists, whether they're immigrants or public officials who are trying to protect immigrants.
After she spoke, a reporter came up to us wanting to know more, as did a local activist who then took us out to the border wall where she gives assistance to immigrants through the holes in the wall. We're going to show some of this in a minute, but before we do, I just want to emphasize the need for this kind of action. Defending the rights and lives of those under attack and calling forward millions to join the fight to defeat this fascism. These kinds of actions need to happen now, tomorrow, and the day after. We can't wait until Trump is inaugurated. But then, when he is on January 20th, the protests need to take a leap. This is what everyone who refuses to accept a fascist America needs to be part of doing right now. Let's watch Carl Dix calling out Trump and bootlicker New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept the fascist America. No hate, no fear. Every decent person must respect and defend the right of our immigrant sisters and brothers. Fascist Trump, bootlicker Eric Adams, keep your hands off at the immigrants. No human being is illegal. It's this system that's rotten and illegitimate. We demand and we need a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system.
Now let's go back to the border near San Diego. This was a really moving experience. Seeing the conditions of these immigrants in open-air detention, some of them trapped for weeks in this little area between the actual border fence and the new border wall built by Trump, sleeping on the ground out in the cold. One woman we talked to was pregnant with a dangerous blood pressure condition and had hurt her ankle coming over the border wall.
What kind of country, what kind of system like creates the conditions where people have to flee their hometowns and have to come, you know, their home countries to have to come and like have to live through something like this? To have like mothers and babies and children like have to sleep on like that floor. And you just look at that floor like, you know, I mean, it's hurting my feet just standing on these rocks. You know, I can't even imagine like having to sleep on like a floor like this. Look at the reality of what it means when this country that is called the greatest of all countries, you know, creates the conditions that people have to go through all of this and then like treats them like animals, you know, and like, and then, you know, all the descriptions you're talking about of like the border patrol just treating them like animals. How many like head injuries and neck injuries he was treating from people like falling from, you know, from this wall, right? And you were walking through like, this is conscious. It was built consciously to like, to kill people, you know, like that, you know, like having people like feel that rage and like unnecessariness. And, you know, I mean, we're here, we're seeing it, we feel that rage, but like getting other people to kind of like feel that and actually act on it, you know, it matters to have like, you know, when you're crossing here to see like a friendly face, to kind of see somebody that's like, take some water, have a snack, like, you know, use the bathroom, like to actually feel like there are other human beings here and not just like this f***ing pig border patrol that just treats them like shit, you know? But like, you know, like you said, not just creating a better condition here, but like actually, yeah, like ending it and from where coming from and putting an end to the whole system that like creates these conditions so that nobody ever has to like go through this again, you know?
Another guy we talked to shared his story, coming up from South America, over the Darien Gap, watching people die along the way in the mud, then getting kidnapped twice in Mexico and extorted for money, his wife threatened with rape. All this just so he could come and survive and have a better life and escape the poverty and violence in his country caused by this imperialist system, above all the U.S. Let's watch a clip of this conversation. And as you watch our friend here speaking from us from behind the bars of this border wall, ask yourself, who are the real criminals? And what will you do to bring into being a world where this kind of unnecessary suffering is abolished and replaced by a world where we work together for the common good without walls or borders between us?
La selva del Darién es algo muy triste. Yo pude ver una niña que falleció, pude ver dos señoras que fallecieron. La selva del Darién es algo que uno no puede explicar, pero es algo muy cruel. Es algo muy cruel ver familias con tres, con cuatro niños buscando escapar de la pobreza, de la violencia. El resto de los países, la misma policía, la misma guardia, lo extorsiona a uno. Yo pienso que México es lo más difícil de todo esto, porque en México te persigue migración. Te extorsiona migración. Aparte de eso están los carteles. A mí me secuestraron pasando de Ciudad Hidalgo a Tapachula. Nos secuestraron a 300 personas que íbamos juntas, más o menos 280. A mí personalmente me pidieron $2,000, vieron una foto de mi esposa y querían que mi esposa se viniera hasta Ciudad de México para poder soltarme a mí. Pues obviamente les dije que no, pero la idea de ellos era que mi esposa se quedara acá con ellos. Entonces son momentos de mucha angustia, de mucha tristeza. Al final ya pudimos caminar casi un día y medio sin comer nada, sin tomar agua, porque ya llevo casi 3 meses en demasiada oscuridad, guerreando, luchando, intentando salir adelante, extrañando la familia, recibiendo desprecio, recibiendo tantas cosas que es muy denigrante al final para uno como ser humano, porque todos somos personas y al final es muy denigrante todo lo que uno vive por todo este camino. Y el pensamiento de ustedes lo comparto totalmente y me siento totalmente identificado. Porque también quisiera un mundo sin fronteras. Somos seres humanos con valores, con sueños. Y realmente todo esto son impedimentos para nosotros mismos, para la gente. Para ellos no, ellos están allá tranquilos. Pero para uno es un impedimento, para uno es humillación. Esto es humillación. Aquí parado al rayo del sol, hablándole a usted por un huequito, porque no, esto es humillación y esto no debería existir.
One more thing before we close out today's show. On Bob Avakian's social media and at revcom.us, you can find a playlist of his messages since the election. Revolution number 102 all the way through revolution number 111. Look, in a time of great confusion, Bob Avakian is bringing great clarity. This is not a time for demoralization and despair. This is a time for righteous anger and revolutionary determination. Bob Avakian has been breaking down and bringing alive what the f*** got us in this situation. How did a fascist come to power? What is fascism? And how does it arise out of this rotten and illegitimate system? And what the f*** do we need to be doing? What do we need to be doing to defeat this fascism? And how there's the real potential for a real revolution to get rid of this whole rotten system? Nobody else but Bob Avakian has confronted the full reality of this and applied science to dig into, to uncover the driving dynamics and the real possibilities, the significant dangers within this situation, but yes, the real possibilities. Dig into this repeatedly, spread them, get together with others and dig into them. Raise your questions and get them on the walls and social media. Look, people are groping around in the dark right now. This is the scientific flashlight that they need.
We've got some time left, so I'd like to play this.
Two countries within this country, and the whole damn system's got to go. This is not a time for demoralization and despair. It is a time for righteous anger and revolutionary determination. This is Bob Avakian, Revolution number 102. This election brings out sharply that there really are two countries within this country. This, in a real sense, is an extension of a fundamental division that has existed since the beginning of the so-called United States of America, with its foundation in slavery and genocide. A division which has never really been resolved throughout the history of this country, not through the Civil War in the 1860s, and not through changes that were brought about through the 1960s and in the years following. As I have said before, there is a direct line from the pro-slavery Confederacy at the time of the Civil War to the fascism of today, with its determination to make America once again openly, aggressively white supremacist, male supremacist, and anti-LGBT people. This division into two countries can find no good resolution under this system. The election of an outright fascist, Donald Trump, as the head of this system, is a powerful demonstration of this. There can be no good resolution under this system because despite the false promises and lies of the mainstream section of the ruling class, represented by the Democratic Party, the whole system rests on ruthless exploitation. An oppression based on race, sex, and gender, the plunder of the environment and of people throughout the world, as well as the devastation of war, all this is built into the ruling system of capitalism imperialism. One country within this country, those who support fascism, demand and celebrate this oppression and madness. The other country wants an end to this oppression and madness. But there can be no end to it under this system. And so long as things are on the terms of this system and limited within the confines of this system, the fascists will have initiative which decent people cannot have. Why? Because fascism is one way this system of capitalism imperialism can be ruled and function. And there is a powerful section of the ruling class that is determined to impose this fascism. But putting an end to all the injustices that decent people want to see ended cannot happen under this system. And although there is a section of the ruling class that opposes this fascism, this opposition is always on the terms and within the limits of this system. There is no part of the ruling class that will risk the kind of upheaval that will be necessary to defeat this fascism. And no part of the ruling class that will seek to bring about an end to the monstrous atrocities and profound injustices which are built into this system and which this system cannot do without. And that is just the point. Things must no longer remain and continue to be confined on the terms and within the limits of this system and its ruling class. It is time, and urgently so, for the only positive revolutionary resolution of all this. Time to resolve this fundamental divide by finally and decisively defeating the fascist country, and doing so as part of putting an end to this whole system which has given rise to this fascism, along with all its other atrocity. And as for people who have actually been misled into being part of the fascist country, decisively defeating this fascism as part of doing away with this whole system will provide the best means for jolting awake those misled people and winning them to become part of a revolutionary and emancipating resolution to all this. As I said at the beginning, this is not a time for demoralization and despair, resulting from accepting things on the terms of this system. This is a time for righteous anger and revolutionary determination, a time to finally bring about a decisive, emancipating, revolutionary resolution to this conflict which, in a very real sense, has marked the United States from the time of its founding in slavery and genocide to the time today when it is the world's most deadly and destructive oppressor, dangerously threatening the future and the very existence of humanity. Time to take up and fight for what we RevComs, revolutionary communists, have clearly put forward in We Need and We Demand, a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. The existing capitalist imperialist system and institutions of government in this country must be abolished and dismantled and replaced by a new socialist system based on the Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America.
Why Democrats are aiding and facilitating fascism. What this shows about this system and what decent people need to be doing. This is Bob Avakian, Revolution number 103. After calling Trump a fascist, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and other leading Democrats are now busy bragging about how they are upholding the peaceful transfer of power, are helping Trump with his transition to power, and they hope he will succeed as president. This is a repeat of what the Democrats did in 2017, even after they kept insisting this time that a Trump presidency now would be far worse than the first time around.
Once more, the Democrats themselves are driving home the crucial point I have repeatedly emphasized. For example, in my article, Fascism and the Whole System, available at revcom.us. The Democrats and the mainstream section of the ruling class that they represent cannot fight the fascists the way they need to be fought. And this fight needs to be waged as part of fighting to abolish this whole system. Fascism is not a swear word or just some kind of negative label to put on your opponent in the course of an election. Fascism, as represented by Donald Trump, is a white supremacist, male supremacist, anti-LGBT, immigrant-hating, aggressively environment-destroying, anti-scientific, religious fundamentalist fanaticism, determined to use the power of the government to forcibly compel obedience to its dangerous and destructive lunacy, and to viciously persecute those who oppose or resist. And now that the election is over, here are the leading Democrats anxious to cooperate with and assist the fascist Trump. For the Democrats, the stability of the rule of this system of capitalism imperialism, even in the form of fascism, is more important than actually defeating fascism. Yet another glaring demonstration of the reality that this whole system and every part of its ruling class is completely rotten, criminal, and thoroughly illegitimate. As opposed to what the Democrats are helping to impose on people, what is needed is bold defiance and a determined refusal to go along with any of this, now and in an ongoing way. As I said in message number 102, this is not a time for demoralization and despair. It is a time for righteous anger and revolutionary determination. There will definitely be a need to defend the rights and the lives of people who are the targets of this fascism. At the same time, in the face of this fascism and those who are its supporters, there should be no defensiveness, but instead a firm stand of defiantly opposing everything they are about and everything they do in moving to carry out this fascism. As for people who voted for and backed Trump, regardless of the reason or rationalization they give for doing this, the fact is that they are supporting fascism with everything that means. And it is necessary and crucial to consistently and actively take the offensive against this. This definitely goes for those bros who are openly trumpeting rape culture, assaulting women and girls with a depraved chant, "Your body, my choice." And it goes for every other putrid expression of this fascism. Even more fundamentally, as I have consistently emphasized, this fascism is rooted in the very soil of this system in this country. And more people need to be one to recognize and act on the understanding that the fight against this fascism needs to be waged as part of fighting to abolish this whole system through an actual revolution. Coming soon, how can I talk seriously about a revolution when the fascist Trump just got elected?
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out The Rev Comes on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComes and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Was die Attentäter betrifft, die in Berlin den Anschlag auf die deutsch-arabische Gesellschaft verübt haben, ist die Polizei einen Schritt weiter gekommen. Der nach dem Anschlag
they sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. Take Manhattan.